This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street. Or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today.
Can you hear the voice within? Can you hear me running? Can you hear me running? Can you hear me calling you? Can you hear the voice within? Can you hear me running? Can you hear me running? Can you hear me calling you?
Greetings, I am Barry. This is The Voice Within for another week. Brought to you by
Infinity Spiritual Centre, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
Well, here we are, the last week of summer already. And coming up next week is March. And this is Pam Gregory, and she's going to tell us about the eclipse that is coming up.
Hi everyone, I'm going to be talking to you today about the first half of March and the total lunar eclipse that is coming up on the 3rd. So we are in some super powerful eclipse energy, as you will be well aware at the moment. I'm filming this on the 18th of February, and of course the effect of the solar eclipse at 28:50 of Aquarius that we had yesterday will go on for quite some weeks and will have consequences for many months to come. But we are now moving towards that total lunar eclipse, and that total annular solar eclipse we anticipated to be seismic. There's still a lot more time to run on that, but certainly we have had some very seismic information, it's fair to say, coming out over the last few days. This is just the beginning. This is absolutely right on time for what was expected, because Aquarius is the sign linked to truth. It's square to, in the solar eclipse, the annular solar eclipse, it was square to Uranus, the ruler of that sign, and also as a planet. It's very closely linked to truth and awakening. The solar eclipse was virtually at the anoretic degree, the very last degree of Aquarius, and therefore a crisis is thrown up around truth. And that solar eclipse as well was not only square to Uranus, but it was also sesquiquadrate, 135 degrees to Jupiter, also linked to truth and the law, justice, accountability. So we have so much to come. We're just at the very beginning of that process. If you are already feeling shocked, you ain't seen nothing yet. We're just at the beginning. But remember, you know, I've been talking about this for many months, about people in the public eye falling from grace if they've not acted with integrity and transparency. And that's a whole combination of factors. It's Uranus conjunct Algol until kind of mid-March, and that's to do with people losing their heads, you know, having their heads chopped off in terms of losing power. It's also to do with Saturn conjunct Neptune, a reality check on leaders, Aries, particularly Saturn, just on the 13th, 14th of February, moved into Aries. That's to do with old traditional leadership as well. And so dissolution, Neptune, of that leadership. We've also had on the 1st of February the full moon in Leo, and Leo highlighted again, put a very bright light on leadership, celebrities, glamour, that kind of thing. It will also create a reality check on spiritual leaders. Again, reality check, Saturn, spiritual leaders, Neptune in Aries. So we've got a whole, you know, I could talk for an hour just about that we've expected people to fall from power, and whether they're politicians, leaders in other areas, spiritual leaders, celebrities, there's going to be an avalanche, I think. And people are going to be, if they haven't been aware of what's been going on, extremely shocked. And the rest of us who are able to hold some stability are going to have to hold that space for them with a great deal of compassion, because we were there once. You know, we went through our own awakening. But, you know, we have to see this. We can't plaster over it. We can't spiritually bypass. It's essential that we see it, partly because that's a critical part of the awakening. And also, partly, we have to take spiritual responsibility that our collective consciousness has produced such things, because we've given away our power to the external titles or authorities, whatever. But it's also to create a much stronger conviction that we're never going to let this happen again, that we are going to come together as one humanity, standing in love, standing in our light, and we're not going to do it again. And also, frankly, you just can't build a more loving world on rotten foundations. So we have to see it. And it's going to be destabilizing for many people. It could cause some psychosis even, and all that Aquarian energy. So just be aware, this is, you know, this is the kind of storm that we're entering now. But for each of you, as I always say, you know, hold your stability, be the anchor, be the lighthouse, particularly if you already had some sense of what was coming. That's our collective duty, I think, our spiritual responsibility as well. And I just, when I was preparing to do this today, I just happened to see the Sabian symbol for that annular solar eclipse from Dane Rudyard. Dane Rudyard was a brilliant astrologer, philosopher, author, and he here on his website is picking up the Sabian symbols that clairvoyant medium Elsie Wheeler downloaded for each of the degrees in 1925. And, you know, they're remarkably accurate. And with the Sabian symbol, you always have to round up to the next degree. So if we're still looking back to that annular solar eclipse, we move it up to 29 of Aquarius. And it almost made me kind of laugh out loud, because the Sabian symbol is a butterfly emerging from a chrysalis. The capacity to utterly transform the character of one's consciousness. What is emphasized is the process of metamorphosis. In spiritual terms, this implies initiation. And this is exactly what we are right now. And so let the astrology reassure you, because I've been talking about this for so many months. You know, so much truth coming to light. That's part of the awakening, the shock, the, oh my goodness, you know, how could we not have known? In order that we can say, enough, we will stand our ground and create a better world. Now, all of this is going to create a lot more revolutionary energy. That solar eclipse square to Uranus is much more rebellious and revolutionary energy. And whether that is people taking to the streets and feeling very angry, whether it's a revolution of love, whether it's a revolution of choice, of deciding to just disengage as far as you possibly can from the system. And again, I've talked about that at length in previous videos, but that's what really initiated that eclipse, this eclipse season that we are now in. So that's what, and of course, the personal planets move over that 29 degrees of Aquarius regularly. The sun moves over it once a year. But the fact we have a solar eclipse there that's so strong really emphasizes that Sabian symbol that I've just shared with you. And it's just so, again, right on time, isn't it, for all the themes I've been talking about for the last 2 years. So we now, what I'm going to be talking about here is a total lunar eclipse that happens in Virgo. It happens at 12:52 of Virgo, very early in the month, on the 3rd. And in order to have an eclipse, you have to have either a new moon or a full moon, either at the north node end of the lunar axis or the south node end. And so here in the annular solar eclipse we've just had on the 17th of February, it was at the north node end, emphasizing, that's where the north node is, so emphasizing moving forwards, the future, the new, the visionary as we move forwards. This total lunar eclipse, and it's strong because it's total, is at the south node end. So not only is it a lunar eclipse, i.e. a full moon, i.e. the peak, the culmination of the moon cycle, but it's also conjunct the south node. So it's emphasizing, whether it's in your own life or in the collective, endings, completions, closures. See where 12:52 of Virgo falls in your own chart, which house area. Now, the path of the eclipse is much more overpopulated areas. We know that the solar eclipse was largely falling over Antarctica and the southern tip of South Africa and South America. Remember, where the eclipse path falls, it tends to bring some of, at least, of those geographies into the news in some way. So Antarctica has always been a very mysterious, secret area. You know, you can't book your annual holiday there for sure. So it'll be very interesting in the coming months to see what unfolds from there. But this one, the total lunar eclipse, falls over Northeast Asia, Western North America, Eastern Australia, New Zealand, Pacific, Japan, and Eastern China. So a lot of densely populated areas there. And also just to say that part of the eclipses, the effect of the eclipses, is either earthquake or volcanic activity. We've had quite a bit of that, having a lot of volcanic activity right now. Seismic, shocking news, etc., events, but also extreme weather. So we've had a ton of extreme weather. I understand there's some fires happening in America right now. They've also had very unusual snowstorms down the East Coast. There've been huge, very destructive storms in Southern Europe. Massive flooding currently in southwest France, and also in New Zealand as well, and actually where I am in the UK, huge amounts of flooding. I mean, I think in my particular area, I think this year, which is going on for about 7 weeks now, we're into 2026, I think we've had one, maybe 2 days with no rain. It's, yeah, we're growing webbed feet here, so yeah. So part of this is natural, part of this is unnatural. Of course, it's also partly Gaia going through her own rebirth and shedding these millions of years of trauma. So what is Virgo to do with? Well, Virgo is to do with health. So at eclipses, we see things that are brought to light, as we are seeing already with the annular solar eclipse. Things being brought to light that we didn't see before, to do with health, what's going to be revealed with health, because the Pisces Virgo axis is very linked to that. It's linked to the immune system, it's linked to the blood, particularly the Pisces end. You'll see in a moment we have a lot of planets in Pisces. It's also linked to systems. So we may see, you know, some systems collapsing, some systems struggle because of there's a lot of geomagnetic activity going on right now, a lot of solar activity and solar storms, etc. And I know that there's some radio blackouts currently, and I think part of the South Pacific areas. So, you know, expect this kind of volatility going forwards. And that's why you have to be stable within yourself when all this is swirling around us. You know, the news, the politics, the revelations, the weather, the flooding, you know, we have to find our own anchor. That's this evolution, this ascension, this upgrade for humanity is through our physicality, through our body. Our bodies are antennae acting between heaven and earth to stabilize these very high frequency, fast incoming cosmic energies so we can ground them not only into ourselves, but into Gaia to help to stabilize Gaia too. So that's what this is all about. It's not an out there, it's an in here. It's an inside job, this whole process. It's also because lunar eclipse is always to do with endings. Virgo is to do with end your daily habits, your daily routine. So this could be recognizing that you're very routine. You know, you've done it for years and years and years in a certain way, a certain routine. Can you even change it up a little bit? Do it in a different order, or are you recognizing that some aspects of this just aren't serving you anymore and you just have to let them go? That's very much, you know, letting it go is very much part of a full moon, and this is a very big full moon. It's also to do with employment, and I think employment is going to be very highlighted here because, of course, with the rapid, just exponential growth of AI, that is making a lot of people redundant. Very suddenly, because AI is able to take over some very routine, repetitive jobs. So what do those people do? You know, they not only may lose a salary, they may lose a sense of daily purpose and structure as well. Their daily routine disappears because they no longer have a job. So this is going to, you know, shine a light on some very big areas in society. And I think the revelations that are going to come out are not just linked to the Epstein files. They're going to be right across society in many, many areas of our lives. So be aware and be prepared for that. So really think about what is culminating, what is closing, what is completing for you in that house area where 1252 of Virgo lies. And Virgo is also about purification, as I say, this sense of purification. And really do try, as we move forward so rapidly, we're now in the year of the Far Horse, and boy, is this going to be dynamic energy. Try and purify your thinking process, purify your diet as far as you are able to, you know, really clean diet. Really say to yourself, do I need to do a detox? You know, this sense of purification, to be as pure as you can physically and mentally, because Virgo, of course, is ruled by Mercury. It's our mind as well, our daily, you know, not good enough, young enough, pretty enough, rich enough, all of that gunge that runs in our heads so unhelpfully. Again, post-it notes around your kitchen cupboards, your fridge, etc. What are you thinking about? So you can catch that kind of daily grunge that can pull you down. Also, Virgo is concerned with detail. It's very concerned with micromanaging sometimes, being a bit of a worrywart, a real perfectionism with Virgo. You know, 99% is not good enough. You've got to get absolutely 100%, otherwise you'll beat yourself up. So it's this sense of great focus on detail and getting the T's crosses and the, you know, the I's dotted, and a sense of the detail needing to be exact and right. But actually, as we've talked, you know, many, many times in these videos, we're moving towards something much more fluid, more malleable, more flowing, more ethereal. And that's, of course, is all the Pisces energy. And you'll see in the chart how many Pisces planets in Pisces we have. So I set this, as always, for England. This is happening at 11:39 in the morning on the 3rd of March. So always at a lunar eclipse, it's a big full moon, and always at a full moon, you get the sun and moon opposing each other. Now, we have a lot of dwarf planets being activated at this total lunar eclipse. So I've put quite a lot of them in, and I think they're really, really fascinating for what they're telling us. You'll notice I've mentioned we have a lot of planets in Pisces. I think we have 5 planets in total in water, because we have we have Jupiter and Cancer over here, plus the 4 in Pisces. So we have Mars, Sun, Mercury, the ruler of this lunar eclipse, it rules Virgo, and Venus, plus the North Node. So heavy emphasis in water. And that could well pick up the theme of Neptune at the Aries point, at the world axis, 0 to 2 degrees of the cardinal signs of the world axis. That puts Neptunian symbolism out on the public stage. So whether that is deception and lies, or whether it's flooding and the seas and the oceans and toxicity and all of that, it's bigger out in the public, reinforced by all of these planets in Pisces, that Neptune rules. So seas, oceans, flooding, lies, deception, media, drugs of all kinds. Living in a dream, living in an illusion. I think one of the big, big themes also, if I haven't mentioned it already, of Saturn Neptune is disillusionment, reality check on the illusion we've lived through, disillusionment with many, many things in our lives. And so, yes, a lot of water. And with Pisces, this brings in a great spirituality. It's the sign, more than any other, linked to compassion. Compassion, love for all living beings, a sense of oneness with all living beings, sensitivity to suffering, both human and animal. And I've noticed in many countries, they are bringing in much stricter animal welfare rulings. You know, much, much further to go, but prosecution, big fines if there's cruelty, or you keep your dog outside, or you keep it chained, awful, awful things, or, you know, bullfighting being stopped in certain areas, or, you know, marine mammals being released into sanctuaries in the seas. You know, in Italy, this has come up, Poland, France, many areas I've been picking up on social media have been bringing in new rulings. And thank goodness, I mean, that's way, you know, way beyond time. And it's so good to see that as we have this increasing sense of oneness with our animal brothers and sisters. And also, you know, versus the Virgo perfectionism and the detail, with Pisces, there's a sense of no limits. Limits are off now. Neptune on the world axis is also limits are off. We are into a time of infinite possibilities that Dr. David Clements talks so much about. And I know you've really enjoyed his videos. On the same theme of flooding, we have Gong Gong, a dwarf planet here. I think it's pronounced Gong Kun, at almost 6 degrees of Pisces, conjunct the North Node. He was the Chinese god of water and flooding. And this can be literal flooding. It can also be, Alan Clay has suggested, a flood of insights, because, of course, Pisces is incredibly psychically tuned as well. And that's going to come in strongly from this point on. I mean, you're feeling it already in your dreams, your meditations. You know, you're feeling so much more, this sense of connection. And in the myth with Gong Kun, he was in a competition to become Chinese emperor. He lost that competition, and in his fury, he smashed his head against the pillar that holds up the sky, and he was said to actually tilt the sky. So let's hope nothing so dramatic happens at these very seismic times, but that's the myth. But I think certainly flooding is going to be highlighted, but floods of insight, I think, is a great way to look at Gongkun there. Mercury is the ruler of Virgo. Mercury is conjunct a dwarf planet we've talked about in the past, a creator farmer god called Teheron Hiawako at almost 23 degrees of Pisces. So ruler of the lunar eclipse conjunct the creator farmer god, and his focus was to make sure that there was a harvest that was coming, make sure there were enough seeds to plant for the harvest. And what I'd strongly suggest to you, and I've suggested it before, with all of these extreme weather events, just buy a very inexpensive sprouter. It's a thing that comes usually in a stack of three, and you can, again, very inexpensively buy dried lentils or chickpeas, or you can buy a whole bag of sprouting seeds, and all you do is put those on, it's normally three layers in this sprouter kit, and you just spray it, each of those layers, twice a day with a spray bottle. Keep it in light, keep it on a windowsill. And even if you live in a small apartment, everybody has a windowsill, I'd really suggest you do that, because they give incredibly powerful nutrition, if the weather is making food production a little more challenged. So I'd really suggest, such an easy, cheap thing to do. Also, Mercury in Pisces is moving from this analysis, this mental analysis, which Virgo is very connected to much more feeling of intuition and meditation and surrender to what is. This, I feel particularly with Venus here. Venus is exalted in Pisces. She's super happy in Pisces. This is Christ consciousness energy, not in terms of any religious link, but in terms of a kind of a very elevated universal love. That's what I mean by Christ consciousness energy, a kind of divine love, if you like. That's a very good way to express it, a divine love for all sentient creatures. We also have, as I say, Neptune right on the world axis. That's between 0 and 2 degrees of the cardinal signs. And so Saturn, as I've mentioned many times, is very helpful here in grounding it, building it. We're going to birth it with love. They are both conjunct Venus in Pisces, very positive. We're going to birth it with love. And Saturn will stay in Aries. So that's literally building Saturn, the new Aries, until April 2028. So we are now into a powerful building phase of new Earth. Yes, the old is collapsing very, very clearly. I mean, it's just all over social media, but we don't have to wait for it to go to be burned to the ground. At the same time, new Earth is coming up, and new Earth is embodied in us. We are new Earth, as I've talked about. Saturn and Neptune also conjunct Manwe. I've talked about dwarf planet Manwe. He, with his wife Varda, actually originally created the cosmos. He's the highest archangel, closest to the mind of God. He is very much about the initiation of the new. If he could build the universe the first time around, he can certainly do it the second time around, which I think is absolutely where we're at. Also, if we move to our moon here, the moon is conjunct dwarf planet Orcus. Now, Orcus is the Etruscan god of the underworld. He punishes those who violated sacred and divine law. I think that's absolutely where we are. I mean, you think, people initially were saying, oh, these dwarf planets are so abstract, they've got no relevance to society. Well, I think they have, actually. I think they're absolutely spot on, because we are getting this sense of justice. In fact, Jupiter here, linked to justice and the law, is semi-square Uranus, truth and awakening. So it's emphasized yet again at this lunar eclipse. Also, I was thrilled to see this. I've recently discovered that there's a dwarf planet with a 450-year orbit. It's a shame that those I've handwritten aren't yet in my software, and that's always quite funny because they're probably millions of years old, but anyway, the software hasn't quite caught up. But this is a dwarf planet called Chimenigagua at 18 degrees of Virgo. So it's conjunct this lunar eclipse. It was named back in August last year. And it is the creator of light in the world. It's the creator of light, and it comes from the myth of the Muisca people, Muisca, that inhabit the Andes Mountains in Colombia. And Chimenigagua was said to bring the spark of creation, the spark of light, because before that, there was simply darkness. There was no light. I find that incredibly powerful for where we are right now. Incredibly powerful. I mean, we are just, with every lunation, we are just getting the message more and more clearly. Ending of the old, collapse of the old systems, birth of the new. In the myth, in order to spread the light, Chimenigagua created two birds that flew through space radiating incandescent light. These birds represent freedom of movement and communication, and creation of light represents the revelation of truth. And we are getting bucket loads of that right now. So, yeah, I think really beautiful. The other thing I would like to highlight is, and it really has come out of the beautiful, beautiful webinar. It was over 10 hours, I think, in total of Veda Austin's latest webinar that I believe you can still purchase from her website. It was extraordinary. And it just became so clear there that water is not only leading our consciousness, but the importance of blessing the water. Blessing the water changes the whole structure and composition of the water. It's just such a simple thing to do. And Archangel Raphael Varkelykolodny has said, if 35 of us, 35% of us blessed our water, we would immediately reach unity consciousness. And Raphael has mentioned that more than once. What a simple, easy, free thing to do. So I really would ask you to give more attention to water. Water, we're going to learn so much more about water, about light. This running sextile between Neptune and Uranus. I see Uranus as light, and there's some historical references that I quoted in other videos about that. The understanding, the greater understanding of light and water, and Veda calls water condensed light, they are both packed with information that also holds memory. I mean, there's just a whole, whole. There is a whole universe and more to discover via the water. So just treat it with a lot more love and respect, I would say, as we go forwards. Also, this, of course, very clearly is spiritual leadership. Now, what a brilliant example of spiritual leadership the monks have given us in America. They've walked 2,300 miles, I believe. They've touched 7 million hearts in terms of the people they've met. And people have just burst into tears when the monks arrive, because they're not shouting, they're not loud, they have no agenda other than peace and spreading love in the world. They are just such a pure, loving example of spiritual leadership and the kind of leadership we will see in the future. Leadership is not going to be top-down, it's not going to be rules and regulations, it's not going to be authoritarian, tyrannical, telling you what to do. It's going to be just birthed from this radiant, blissful presence of love and peace. That's the new leadership. And so the monks are a beautiful example. It doesn't have to be loud to be powerful. They were so, so quiet and peaceful. And see what effect that has had right across America. People are talking about it all over. So also be your own spiritual leader, your own spiritual hero. And you do that, again, not by shouting, but by cultivating your own radiant, blissful presence as often as you can as you move through your day. We have Jupiter, which is not only in the sign it's exalted in Cancer, but the very degree that it's exalted in, 15 of Cancer, conjunct our spiritual star Sirius. And it is trine to the sun here, beautiful, really wonderful, positive trine. So it's expanding our heart energy, the sun. And it's very much about expanding our, not only our compassion, Pisces, but our nurturing, our care for others, Cancer. You know, we are going to be birthing this much greater sense of those who've been excluded or punished in awful ways or really suffered in recent past. We are going to feel 10 tons of compassion and love and care and nurturing. You know, we're going to be moving beyond our individual boundaries. We will want to open our hearts. It will be just instinctive. Also, Jupiter is trine to the ruler of this lunar eclipse, Mercury. This is great for future visions, expansive ideas, what's possible. And it really, again, is suggesting that we're moving from a kind of linear progression in how we evolve into a kind of expanded multidimensional awareness. There's this great sense with Jupiter of the expansion. With Mercury, this is how the mind works, how consciousness works. Big, big expansion. And that's going to be accelerated a hundredfold once Uranus moves into Gemini on the 26th of April, Gemini also being ruled by Mercury. I think we're going to have an explosion in the understanding of consciousness. Mars here is square in and out of sign square to Uranus. This is really revolutionary behavior. Any combination of Mars, Uranus is, I want freedom, I'm not going to obey the rules, I want to break out of the system. Very strong impetus for freedom. And so, yeah, it's with all that comes out, that is going to be very understandable. It's slightly softened by the fact that Mars is in Pisces, but it's also, you know, it's also linked to, because it's in aspect to, it's in a sesquiquadrate here, 135 degrees to Jupiter. It's fighting for what we believe in, not being humble, Virgo, not just being people-pleasing in any way, but standing up strongly to fight for what we believe in. Belief systems, Jupiter. Fighting for causes. Fighting for truth. Uranus and Jupiter. Accountability. So, you know, some really, really strong themes here. I also think that Mars, in an exact to the degree, it's only, gosh, 5 minutes away from exactitude, square to Sedna, is energizing this metamorphosis that we're going through. And, you know, in my conversations with both Kelly Clodney and with David Clements, they've talked about telomeres strengthening and lengthening, which is going to extend our age and improve our health, etc. But also other people, you know, I've mentioned Richard Drudd several times, that he's talked about Pluto entering gate 41 in his Gene Key system. That was on the 30th of January last year, I think, 2025, and that triggered the activation of methionine, an amino acid that will create a kind of cascade of genetic changes, genetic upgrades across all species, human, animal, plants, microbes, everything, everything that's living in our world. So it's just the beginning of that at the beginning of last year. But, you know, all of this is going to be infinite evolution. We're just in a super concentrated period of it, as I've talked about many times. So, yes, yeah, so some wonderful things, very powerful things at this lunar eclipse in Virgo. And remember the effect of this. We're in this eclipse period until really end of March. But the consequences of the eclipses, both the solar and the lunar, go on for another 6 months. And so what about other important things in this first half of March? Well, on the 11th of March, we have Jupiter, which is barely moving, actually. It stays at 15 degrees all the way through March. So, and it moves stationary direct on the 11th at 15:05 of Cancer. So if you have any planets within about 13 to 17 of Cancer, you are going to feel some sense of expansion or magnification, or it will magnify whatever planet it is conjunct in your own chart. So for instance, if it's conjunct your Uranus, that's going to bring in kind of downloads and opening up of consciousness. You know, if it's conjunct your natal Mars, it's going to be, yeah, fighting for causes. I always get a sense of the crusades there, you know, fighting for your beliefs. Is it conjunct your natal Venus? That's going to bring in popularity or maybe even some money for you, etc., etc. So it depends which planet it is coming conjunct to, but it will magnify that. And it also tends to expand the house area that it is moving through, but it's magnified about a week to either side. So, you know, from that total lunar eclipse into the 18th, 19th or so, into the next lunation, in fact, the new moon in Pisces. And also, of course, don't forget, we haven't talked about 3i Atlas for a little while, but the final flyby of 3i Atlas is going to be past Jupiter on the 16th, 17th of March. It then exits our solar system to who knows where. Who knows if it will ever come back. It's not on an orbit, we don't believe. This is a one-time flyby. I don't believe it's the first of interstellar visitors. I believe it's the first of many, many to follow. Again, this is the beginning of us stepping into our galactic citizenship and reconnecting to our galactic family in a much bigger way than we've ever known in this lifetime. But that is going to be a thrilling reconnection and remembrance. And I know, you know, loads of people on YouTube channel, galactic beings, more of you I know in your meditations, in your dreams, are connecting with these beings in very loving, benevolent ways. So, you know, how beautiful is that? So then we are into the Aries equinox on the 20th of March, and then we're into a whole pileup of planets in Aries that I'll be talking about next time. Now, both we have strong Aquarian energy right now. Pluto's in Aquarius. We've had a lot of the personal planets moving through there already. We have more planets in Aries coming up in early April than I've ever seen, more orbiting bodies. Both Aquarius and Aries are linked to speed, independence, freedom. Don't box me in. So we're gonna, with this year of the Far Horse, this dynamism, this passion, this no constraint, this, you know, we're gonna have this tremendous feeling of a huge number of events kind of crashing in at us from the outside. Is it true? Is it not? There is gonna be, I sense, misinformation in the lists that come through. So don't think that everything you're reading and seeing is necessarily truth. This is going to teach us discernment. Discernment not from the head, because it's the lunar eclipse in Virgo. We're ending using the head as our principal navigation tool. The head is going to come from the heart and our intuition. That's what the pile up in Pisces is about, our intuition, our heart. They're going to be our navigation tool going forward. So if you see, you know, names coming up, don't think they're automatically true. Use your own discernment and your own judgment with this. But there's going to be a lot coming at us. And there's going to be zigzags and distractions. You know, one day it seems to be going this direction, good guy, bad guy. The next day it's going in another direction, good guy, bad. You know, we are going to be really knocked sideways if we're focused on the external. And that's why I would love you to make your inner state way more important than your external reality. Make your inner state way more important than your external reality. Your state of being is your top priority. Everything cascades from that. You must get bored with me saying that, but it's so important, because we're going to have so much overstimulation, because what's going to come up is not just what you're seeing currently from the Epstein files. It's going to be almost every aspect of society, I suspect. Our history, who are we as humans, previous civilizations, etc., etc. Lots to come. So turn inwards. Turn inwards. Give yourself the gift of at least four times a day. This will take minutes. Shutting your eyes and taking 10 low, long, slow breaths. That will take very little time out of your day. But at least four times a day, more if you can do it, just a few minutes each time. Just do that. Or go onto the meditation page of my website. There's a yogic baby belly breath that I talk about there. It's fabulous for just warmth, bringing you back to a much more coherent state. And there are two free 15-minute meditation. Everything on there is free on the meditation page as well. Fall in love with your breath. Fall in love with your breath. Fall in love with that blissful state of being, because this isn't selfish. The more you can create that internally, the more you're broadcasting it out to the collective to help everybody else out there. Because we will be needed. If we have any kind of inner stability, we're going to be needed out there. Emblazon heart coherence on your consciousness. Emblazon heart coherence on your consciousness. You can reach heart coherence by doing what I've just talked about, or using the yogic baby belly breath, or candle gazing. There are many. Go onto a HeartMath website. They talk about their heart coherence lock-in and their heart coherence breath. They have so much research on heart coherence. So this is all free, simple stuff to do. So emblazon heart coherence on your consciousness, just like it's on the dashboard of your car. In neon lights, that's where we're going. Cultivate radiant, blissful presence. That fall in love with stillness and silence, not social media where you're doom scrolling. Fall in love with your breath. Fall in love with stillness and silence. These are great tools, all free. Everybody can use them and do them every day, anywhere, where you are. You know, on a park bench, anywhere, even in your office, you can close your door and close your eyes for a few minutes, three or four times a day. So really try and cultivate this within yourself. And as things speed up on the outside, can you commit to the big slowdown internally? Be very conscious of slowing down. Slow down with your breath. So as things go lickety-split out there, you slow down. We're going to go through a profound shift in values, which many of us are experiencing. Thank the sun for coming up in the morning. Bless your water. Talk to the trees. Talk to the animals. I do this every morning on my morning walks. Celebrate simplicity and connection. We're yearning for it. We're yearning for really fundamental values of simplicity and connection. So commit to the big slowdown internally. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't. And with this sense of initiation, which we're going through, and you know, yeah, we've had it yesterday at the solar eclipse, and it's going to keep on giving, of course. Then we've got the Aries eclipse, the Aries equinox coming up, you know, a series of initiations that we keep going through as we upgrade through this evolution. Choose something you can focus on that you really want to do that may be totally different from anything in the past, a new passion, a new hobby. It could be creative. It could be better spiritual discipline. It could be you take up poetry or dancing or whatever, pottery or, you know, anything, or joining the soup run, you know, working at a food bank, you know, whatever it is, it tends to fall under that compassionate, charitable, creative, spiritual umbrella, let's say. That's where we're being led. And we have to see this darkness and corruption in order to more fully shine our light. We just have to. We can't miss that step, horrendous though it is. We can't miss that step to fully develop the conviction we are never going to come and do that again. And we're going to come together holding hands as one humanity, saying we are going to shine our light so brightly in the world. You know, I find it so moving. So become a lighthouse in your local community, people who live around you locally, who may be going through some shocks and surprises, and as I say, a lot more to come. And yeah, just make a shift towards love in your life. You know, feel that you have a sense of spiritual activism in your life, and that doesn't have to be loud or shouty. You know, the monks are spiritual activists. Neptune in Aries, spiritual activism. And just keep, you know, rolling that mantra that we use in the meditation every night, where we're welcoming in an ever-expanding consciousness of love. When that came through me a couple of years ago, I didn't realize, I think it's even more relevant now than it was a couple of years ago. So, you know, use that as a rolling mantra. And really in these times, I'd love you to kind of already cultivate a sense of pride. Oh, so good, baby. That you can look back from your future back to #, look what love built. Look what love built. And we are doing that together as one humanity. Lot in there today. And just really sending a lot of love to you. Thank you for all of the, you know, incredibly loving comments you see. You always send me loving comments. And, they bring me to tears, a lot of them. And, you know, don't worry, I'm really not disappearing. You may barely notice the difference, to be honest. But I do have to step back a little bit from the number of videos because I'm starting this shamanic training at the beginning of April. And also I want to do that. You know, I want to follow my own advice, basically, and what I talk. So they may not be quite as often. I'm not disappearing. I'm absolutely not disappearing. But I hope the training will take me on a different journey that will deepen my work, I hope, for your benefit as well. I'll be sharing whatever I'm integrating myself, of course, with you, because I'm going to be changing internally, and that has to be reflected in everything I share. So sending you so much love, and thank you for listening. And, you know, just feel that shift in momentum. It's palpable now. It's really palpable. And it's going to be fast. If you're on that timeline of love, you're going to be meeting people, synchronicities, situations, jump leads, things. You just turn to the right page in the book. You just meet the right person you need to meet. It's that kind of ease and flow that you'll start to feel when you're in a kind of love groove, let's call it. That's another one. Get in the love groove. Lots of love to you all. Have a wonderful total lunar eclipse in Virgo. Bye for now, and I'll be back soon.
That's a track called The Rivers Flow. Let's hope it doesn't burst its banks, as Pam was talking about. Anyway, Lee Harris has been talking with Tammy Simon, and he's channeled a powerful message from the Zeds, from the Z's.
I asked you how the Z's work through you, and you said that one possibility when you're really having them speak through you is that you shut your eyes and your voice sounds different. And you know where I'm going here, Lee.
Yeah, I just worked that out, Tammy. And they usually say something and then they'll ask you for questions. So we'll see how it goes. But that's the usual thing. Good. Welcome. A pleasure to be with you. We will speak first to you, Tammy, then we will speak to your audience, for want of a better term, we will say your community. Tammy, you have always had a fast mind. It is part of your brilliance, and your mind is somewhat cosmic in its intelligence. It is why you have always wanted to look into the broader topics, but to find the detail and the specifics within those broader topics to help distill and bring this wisdom to others. So you are a, we will call it, a fan of wisdom. You are a distributor of wisdom. You are in service to wisdom. And you yourself are entering what will be the best period of your life, which is the next 20 to 30 years for you. There will be much that will bloom in your life and in the world at large, which you will greatly enjoy. So to your community, part of the gathering here is similar. On Earth, whenever there is a figurehead for a movement or a teaching or a way of being, those who follow the figurehead are usually in two camps. They are either aligned with the figurehead and already identify with much of what the figurehead stands for, or they are seeking more of what the figurehead is offering. So in your community, Tammy, there are at least 35% of your listeners who very much resonate with your, we will call it, cosmic and fast intelligence, which you are now bringing down into your body. In many ways, Tammy, your role in this life was to shake up what we will call the academia imprint, meaning you could and have in many lives been what we would call a fine academic on Earth. So in this lifetime, you decided to be one of the bridges for those with a highly curated academic mind to allow them to come back to the realm of the senses, the higher mind, and the divine intelligence that moves down through the mind, the third eye, and the throat to the heart, where it all centers for the coming generations. So, to your last question to Lee about how people who are struggling right now might find themselves, we will say the biggest key for all of you is to find the new. Find the new. Why? So much in your world is necessarily changing. It is becoming outdated, outgrown, and in many cases, it is shaking in its system. So there are systems on Earth that you have all been in for hundreds of years that are beginning to rapidly change. Why we say to you, look for the new in your own life is, if you are dealing with too much death energy, which equates to loss, change, transformation from recognizable circumstances and relationships into unrecognizable circumstances and relationships, if you are dealing with too much death and loss energy without enough new birth energy coming in, the balance starts to get heavy. So, any of you who are struggling and have been for quite some time, what new thing, person, doing, feeling would you like to bring into your life? And allow yourself to let that new in. And notice if when we ask you to bring in something new, you get agitated, defensive, against this idea. Notice that part of you and ask that part of you, why so afraid of the new? What do you think you can't handle in the future? What do you think you are not equipped for in the future? And what we will tell you, many of you, is the levels of love that you so often crave and say you crave and look for and want and speak about and write songs about, you actually fear. Because there is a level of ego death that occurs in love. And you have to remember that on your planet, many humans are constantly trying to reassure each other about their human ego. And that's the game that's being played. We're not saying all are, and most of you will not be, shall we say, spending time with those people as much as you are with those who are at least looking for peace or love to be a part of their daily reality and what they bring to the world. So, love is the thing you all seek. And understandably, the enormous power of love and its ability to dissolve all previous wounds, contracts, if allowed to fully blast through the energy field of a human, it will change you in ways that you aren't always ready for. So this is why, as Lee alluded to, we are always telling you all to be kind to yourself about your own progress. You may perceive that you are not where you should be, but we would say if that's where you find yourself in the present moment, that's exactly where you should be. Perhaps the reason you are having these thoughts is because it is going to lead you down a path of reflecting on recent behaviors, choices that got you to this point so that you can learn from them for the future and not make those same choices again. Good. Now we will ask you if you have any questions for us.
Well, I found that profound. So first, thank you. And what I notice is that the love that is most alive in my heart is an expression of service. And I notice I feel a little shy saying that. Like, really? You could talk to this great, powerful 88-person intelligence about anything, and this is what you want to bring forward? But it's the core energy that lives inside of me. And the people who are tracking, who are still listening right now to you and me, I'm going to believe they care about this. So let's end our conversation, and thank you, oh, force of Z's, with your advice, recommendations, pointers on the expression of pure service at this time.
Well, firstly, we will point out that there is no need to see us as some great intelligence greater than your own. This is also the paradigm that is going to change on Earth in the coming decades. There is going to be more of a fusion and more of an understanding that there are, shall we say, thinning veils all over the planet when it comes to interdimensional communication. And that is what you are experiencing right now. But you are experiencing it because you are capable of creating it and opening up to it. That is the power of humanity. And the reason that you speak of service and the reason that you enjoy serving love is because love is an energy field that is not solely in your body. When you connect to love, you are never just connecting to yourself. Even if you are doing it from a meditation that is purely focused on you and your well-being, your nervous system, love is a frequency field. It's an energy field that exists on the planet. And when you walk back into it with another person, you start to amplify it and re-illuminate it. So to be in service to love is of the highest order. For on this planet at this time, love is the force that is most needed. And yes, there are many loving humans on Earth. But there are also those with agendas who would rather see love left behind. And instead, they prefer control, hierarchy, what we would call the old ways of Earth. And there are those who have been, we will say, cast at this time to rise and be the figureheads for the opposite of love as you in society go through this transformation. So, to your question, to serve love in your own life will see you automatically serving love in the world. If you were to give some focus every day to something you love, you will start to feel the frequency of love more often. And as you feel the frequency of love more often, you will naturally be a more benevolent, sharing force of love. Think of the day where you are not so good in yourself. You are a little down, you are a little upset, and somebody is loving toward you, kind toward you, smiles at you, gives you a gift, does something nice. Ah, a little lift in your energy field. See how love is handed on. See how love is a shared energy, and sometimes you are too tired to give it. So instead, you open and allow yourself to receive it. Love is a flowing force, and it is a building force. So the reason those of you who are here for service and here for opening your hearts and here for love are perhaps a little afraid of love is because you have no idea how big it can get. You have no idea how the more you are willing to evaporate the old construct of what you thought reality was, and the more you are willing to allow in the new construct of your reality, which is a reality and a life that is rooted more deeply in love, then you are not only creating a different world for yourself, you are contributing toward an entirely different, we will call it, frequency midpoint on Earth. At the moment, the frequency midpoint on Earth is not love. If you take the average of all the frequencies on Earth right now, unfortunately, you are a little tipped into fear as a society. And that is being perpetrated, by the way. That is being created very deliberately by certain powers that be that would like to see you remain in the power of fear. Because in the power of fear, you are more powerless. In the power of love, you become more powerful.
This is a good place for us to end what I'm going to call part one of my conversation with Lee Harris here on Insights at the Edge and our connection with the Z's. I look forward to talking with you again sometime in the future, Lee. I've enjoyed it so much. There's something about what you're bringing through that feels pure, helpful, and deeply inspiring to me. So thank you so very, very much. Lee Harris, author of the new book, The Future Human, and two volumes called Conversations with the Z's.
A Moment of Peace. That's from Enigma in the Gregorian style. Now, Lee's been talking still with Tammy Simon, and now he's saying that the tide turns as more people start to wake up. Let's hope he's right.
The tide turns as more people start to wake up. And this is going to be a theme that's going to run through February and March. It's going to be, there's a global conversation going on right now between more and more people. A lot of people in shock, a lot of people horrified, a lot of people questioning what's going on. And then others among you who may have been anticipating much of this, and you're a bit more steady or a bit more ready for it, you might be supporting those people. But the tide turns as more people start to wake up. This directly refers to what my guides were saying, which was by April of this year, we're going to see more of a, what's the word? They're saying uplift in terms of what we're currently experiencing. There was a message in the annual energy update, which was, we're going to see many things this year that in the immediate moment that they happen will look very, very bad, and you won't necessarily be able to see how these things are going to change in a more positive way or be curtailed. And that's going to be a big theme this year. There are going to be lots of moments where we go into shock and we wonder what's going to happen, and it will actually be because of our collective rising and speaking up out against, but also on behalf of, speaking on behalf of the marginalized, speaking on behalf of the groups who are currently being persecuted or forced in some way. Because what we know about those agendas is they are actually global. And even if they are just targeting subgroups right now, we all have to be very mindful of what is going on and in our own ways, find ways to bring a different energy. There is a different energy coming in and it's hitting the planet, higher consciousness, but it is disrupting a lot of the old. So equally, on a personal level, that can also hit us. You know, it's not at all a surprise that so many of us are rapidly transforming who we are, how we feel, how we see things, old stories leaving. I mean, it's very, very fast right now, the fastest I've ever seen it in my 33 years of being a student of self-growth and spirituality. So I know we're all feeling it. So the tide turns as more people start to wake up. Remember, compassion is going to be really needed for our fellow humans during this time. Compassion for self, yes, but compassion for those who are really impacted by this and going through what is really an early stage of awakening for them. Many of them will be in an early stage of waking up to see that the world isn't quite what they thought it was. Many of you will have already felt that for a while. You'll have seen things. So it's a very tender time, and it's a time that requires us looking out for each other where and when we can. You won't be the life raft for everyone. And there will be certain people you aren't meant to be the life raft for, and you will feel it when that dissonance is there. But there will be others that you are meant to be there for, and it won't always cost you a lot to give a little, offer some love, offer a word of support, and that can be enough to lift someone. So be vigilant to the needs of others right now, because it is a very tender time on earth for so many, and they might not be speaking about it. They might not be used to speaking about it. So have as much compassion as you can and hold as much space as you can for seemingly strange behaviors in people. It's a normal reaction to what's going on. Okay. Generated division will continue to be exposed, and this will lead to a breakthrough by April. There is a lot of generated division. It isn't true. It's flames that are being fanned. And so we can come away from reading whatever source of information you're reading out there, questioning how divided is this world. The world is not as divided as we are being led to believe, I am told. Of course, you know, the bully always draws the most attention because they're loud, they're bombastic, and they throw their weight around in the room. So everyone notices the bullying energies, and it can lead to a distorted view of what's real. So generated division is where we are given manufactured stories, manufactured information to try and
encourage us to attack and fight each other, which is not what we want to do in the coming decades. It's the opposite. In the coming decades, we're actually going to be coming together more. And as people coming together more, as we as a people have to work together. And there will be those in certain areas of leadership who will also be doing this and will be wanting to bring people together. So it's going to be a very choppy time, but watch out for generated division. Watch out when you are being asked to think badly of someone or something. It won't feel good to your body or your heart. And that's because it isn't an energy that's designed to promote good or unity. It's the opposite. And there is going to be more of a exposure around this too. By April, this is going to become a bit more known and seen by more people, which will help it. It will help it lose some of its power, or it won't be able to hold some of its power, is the message.
Affinity Spiritual Center, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
So what's happening around the country and around the Infinity Spiritual Center? Well, yesterday we had our introduction to spirit, where we covered the subject of chakras. Next Wednesday, we'll be talking about frequencies. And the important thing, if you're a regular listener, you will know that on Sunday, the 1st, Kerry Marie Callender, who used to be on Sense in Murder, will be doing her show up at the Distinction Hotel in Garnet Avenue. So that starts at 7 o'clock on Sunday. You can get tickets through Eventfinder for that if you want to go. Or get a reading, you never know. And then on Monday, Kerry Marie is coming to Infinity Spiritual Centre. So she'll be here for a couple of hours with her books and cards. So you can come in, catch up, have a chat, get a book, whatever. Get yourself a drink and sit around, have a chat and catch up with like-minded people. As Lee said, we're here for a reason and it's all coming to pass soon. I am Barry, it's been The Voice Within. Kakite, Shalom, Namaste, Masalam. May your God go with you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.